Hello, mense. You're listening to Your Mom with Skalk, a podcast hosted by me, Skalk Besuitnout. Now, on this show, we're going to journey deep into the lives of really lekker people. Some of them are my friends. Some of them I wish were my friends. But I don't want to speak to these exceptional people, these celebrities directly. I mean, here, look at mense. I think we are all so tired of listening to celebrities. Everyone and their mother, excuse the pun, has a podcast where they interview celebrities. So we're not going to speak to the celebrities directly, but rather about the celebrities through the people that know them better than anyone, which is, of course, their mothers. Now, mense, as we progress through the season, you'll notice that we speak to the Afrikaans people in Afrikaans and the English people in English. And the reason we wanted to do it like that is because normally Afrikaans people can't speak the best English and English people can't speak the best Afrikaans. So we just wanted to keep it in the mother tongues. And the reason we wanted to release this episode as our very first one is because it's a bit of a blend between the two. Ooh. Mostly English, but a little bit of Afrikaans. So, with you, English or Afrikaans, this episode is for almal. So, geniet it and enjoy. It looks like a demonic Toys R Us in here. We're gonna get to that in a second. Mense, hallo, it's Skalk Besuitnout here. You're listening to Your Mom with Skalk. If there was ever someone whose mom I wanted to talk to, it would be this guy.
It's Jack Barrow, Johnny Beer Hunter, Miriam Wapperde. You want to see the joke now?
So I am sitting in the house of Jack Barrow. But I decided to do this episode. You know, we talk to the Afrikaans people and Afrikaans and the English people and English. But Zander, because so many English people know who you are, I thought I want to give the Engelse mense also a bit of an insight into. I never got Tani Runel.
Dis reg.
But you mind if I say Tani? The previous interview.
No, please do. Whatever. Oh, if you want to say Tani, go for it. Otherwise, just Runel.
Because you were even now, just before this, at an Oma day.
That's right.
For Ruby, for your granddaughter.
Yes, for my precious Pearl, granddaughter.
and you embracing the Oma thing.
Of course. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You know, the by Tanis, you know, they're like their worst nightmares to like be an Oma, you know, but just you, that's not to say you can't be a lekker Oma, can't be a sexy Oma.
My she's the lekkerest Oma.
Yeah,
eh? Like I must sometimes calm it down so that I need to feel spoil me.
So what is, according to Zander, what is the brief from your son? What shouldn't she be getting too much of?
Well, she gets a lot of love of me, from me.
Not too much love.
Not too much love.
She's not too much love.
She needs to know the reality of life.
From me. And then the big thing now are Pokemon cards.
She mustn't get too much of it.
No, I mean.
Why? Because it's demonic.
Really, they went away for a couple of days. And then she.
As you can see, I'm very much.
Yes. And she really wanted a box.
Because in my days, it was like not too much Pokemon cards. One is Funny Devil, you know, like we had Pokemon is Funny Devil. But the thing is, even though that was the narrative, our parents still bought us a little bit of Pokemon cards and let us have the Tazos.
I think it's something new. I thought Pokemon out now.
So it was almost like, okay, you can have a little bit of the devil, but not too much of the devil. But you can have like a few Tazos that's from the devil, but not too many devils.
Yeah, but if you say it's from the devil. Who tells you?
I'll tell you.
Who tells you that?
I'll tell you. There was a guy that came to the school.
Is Pokemon demonic?
The answer to that is yes. They are all oriental demons.
Here's one of the characters. But the one thing I noticed about him right off, this is Pikachu, one thing I noticed about him right off was his tail. It's a lightning bolt. And it's a satanic Z.
And he decided...
what's the devil and what's
he
not?
He would decide... So he would stand in front of the school. I promise you, like, the school assembly in law school. He comes there and then he says, okay, A, B, C, this is from the devil. It was normally drugs, Pokemon. Conveniently, actually...
Drugs and Pokemon.
He actually left out alcohol, eh?
And I say...
Obviously, everyone loves alcohol. And wine. He's like...
He actually left out alcohol. We never got taught alcohol's from the devil, but it was drugs, Pokemon... And, okay, well, the generation before us, you know, it was more like the AC/DC. Remember, they said if you play it backwards, then you hear, and the Rolling Stones and all that stuff. But we didn't have that. But it was like, I remember Pokemon and,
and
drugs. No, not even fuck off. And then, you know, there was one more thing. So I wanted to ask you this, Tani. I had to ask this question, obviously, but you know, because it's actually something that, you know, someone would ask my mom as well. But I'm just gonna say two words: the swearing. Dance op die speaker, fucking dance op die grond. Fucking spring op die tafels, fucking boos, fucking rond. Fucking hier, fucking daar, fucking alles die mekaar. Fucking Jack Barrow, bro, fucking dance op die bar.
You know, I hardly hear it because my favorite words are fuck and puss. You know, so I mean, you know, so he got that from me. Now, how can I tell him not to say it? So if people ask me, you know, the language, and I say, what the language? And then, you know, the swearing. So I said, but
you're,
you
right,
know,
he does talk too much English.
Yeah, but that the problem is, that's my favorite word. So he got it from me. So I don't even hear it.
No, because the thing is, obviously, that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because we don't get to know celebrities' moms. So obviously, when people listen to a Jack Parra song, a lot of people's first question should be like, "Hi, my vadang say ma hifan," you know. So I wanted to know if he got it from you or did he learn it from friends, and now you're like, "Oh," because my mom.
I taught the friends, obviously.
Yes.
I learned from my mom, and then I taught them the friends.
because my mom, at first was very like when I
upset
swore,
that you even know Jack Parra.
No, like before I even knew him, when I started comedy. It was for her very, very hectic, the swearing and stuff. But now she's like kind of the same. She doesn't really swear, but I mean, it's almost like sad for me now because I used to really shock her on stage. Now, sometimes when they come to a show, I'll kind of go a bit more dirty to try and shock her. And I love seeing that reaction on her face when she goes, but I don't get that anymore because nothing shocks anymore. Like, even if I go like my dirtiest joke, she's just like,
lekker,
whatever.
Lekker.
So she's so desensitized now. But the problem is, I don't know if you've made this mistake. I tell my mom, just know your audience, because she will invite her friends to the show. Now, some of her friends are on the same level of open-mindedness, some aren't. But she always ends up inviting her friends that really should not be coming to the show.
Then they get educated.
And then she's pissed off with me, like, "Hoe kom jy so gevloek?" And I'm like, "But you've seen the show. Hoe kom nooi jy daai tannie, the most conservative one of your friends?" And then she's upset with me because now this tannie didn't enjoy the show that much. Have you made that mistake? Have you like taken someone to the show and then you're like, "Oh, that was maybe a bad call"?
No, you know, if they don't want to hear it, then they mustn't come, or they just close their ears. Just accept it.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, I think everyone knows Jack Parra. And were there any people, where did you live when Xander started becoming Jack Parra and started becoming like on the map? I remember it being 2010 because I was matric and I had a Beatle and I had Cooler as Ekka, the CD. And I played in my Beatle all the time. 2010 was the big...
Well, we've been living in our house for 49 years, if you don't mind. So he was born and bred there. And then when Cooler...
Yeah.
As Ekka, did geshoot is, he obviously moved back to my house.
Yeah.
And he had a little mezzanine and all that, all cool. And then they planned shooting something, you know. So he left the morning and then every now and then knock on the door, Xander needs another blow-up swimming pool. You know, we've got lots of everything except money, you know. So then I take three out. Not too long. He needs another umbrella. And then he needs another lounger. So, okay, that all went out of the house and what. And then I will never forget, it was over a weekend. And then the Tuesday evening, I came into his room. He was sitting at that long table on his laptop or whatever. And he said, come, just see what we did this weekend. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't even answer him. I immediately took my phone and phoned his two sisters and said, come through to Durbanville immediately. You won't believe what your brother did. And that's what I remember about Kulleris.
That's so sweet. You won't believe what your brother did. So proud.
You I said that as well. 10 jaar ouder as ek. Wow. 7 and 8 jaar ouder as ek.
7 and 8 jaar. So he was the so prince like, of
look
the
what
family.
What your baby
then.
Brother did. Yeah.
No, but I must
finally
say,
did something.
But you know, everything my children do, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And tell me, do you go to the shows often? Or is it a bit too... Because it like rucks
hand out,
you know?
I would love to, but he never invites me.
And why, what's the reason for that, Zander?
Well,
why don't you want your mom there?
In Cape Town. I mean, that's the biggest problem of all. And also, just for everyone listening to this, we don't have like belly dancers here. My mom's just got a lot of chains on her arm.
Yes. This is part of my body. I never take it off. Only my rings.
Only when you have to go to the airport and it takes like 45
and you know
minutes.
What? I used to fly. But
it's also like the side when they have to do it. Sometimes they're like, I don't have to take off my watch. And then the next time, you must take off your watch. I don't know.
On that note, now, can the airports, if you're listening to this airport, whoever, what is it?
AXA,
whatever. You're the South African airport people. Can you just reach a fucking consensus on the belt? Because it's one airport, keep the belt. And you go, must I take off the belt?
Yeah.
No, keep the belt in the next airport. What were you thinking? Walking through here with your belt. Are you stupid? And it's just, fuck, guys, PE is not on the same fucking wavelength as George. Is not on the same wavelength. You know, same with the watch. Can we just write a rule book for what must get taken off?
I mean, I couldn't believe when I... take it off here. I almost wanted to say deep along the airport. You know?
Yeah. I wanted to ask, I always ask the moms this now, and please just give me a lack of answer, because the thing is, some of the moms, I've also said to them, you are too nice. They just love everything their children do. I know you said you do the same, but I always ask, like, what is your favorite? Like, because my mom is quite ruthless with her feedback. She will tell me, like, she will say now, like, this show Skulky did, I didn't think it was good, you know, but you can't love surely every Jack Barrow song, you know. What is your favorite, and is there maybe a song that he's done that you like, not your best work?
No, I'm sorry to say, but I But there's only one thing he does.
What?
That I do not agree with.
And that is? Mensa, and that is coming up after the break. Right, Mensa, now before the break, Tani Runel was about to tell us one thing that she can't stand about her son. So what is it?
Look at his leg. Tattoos.
Tattoos?
You know, my children...
Your favorite word is fork and poos, but you don't like tattoos.
Nee, fok. Dit is nou rechtig die einde.
As my ma instap en dan... Jy wou lippie eintlik so as jy kyk, maar dan wil sy net afkyk, maar sy kan nie help nie, dan sy wil maar net kyk.
Nee, maar lang nou drawe nie.
I look, but then he knows why I'm looking at his leg or his arm, and then one day I came in, there was like a slangetjie wikkel out here. So, you know.
Het die een op jou, a slang op jou bors?
Ja, fok.
Maar was dit cool as ek 10 jaar oud was, het ek gekry?
No, but I'm sorry to say, that is not,
is it vir jou common or what?
You know what, if he's a grandfather, look what he looks like.
I'm going to look great. I'm going to look entertaining.
And look there. You see, it's kind of down his arm. So I said, you can have whatever you want, but do it from year till year. Till year.
Okay,
at least
so
you can wear a t-shirt.
Just for the people, so she was showing the upper leg, because even a short pant covers that, and your up where the t-shirt sleeve covers, and then your chest, stomach. bum back.
Well, lower back, all those, yeah, yeah. Actually, now, you know, then he has to wear a wetsuit when we go to Arniston.
Yeah.
So you don't see that.
Okay, so that's the one
thing. You know
thing.
What happened with his first tattoo. He was in the Netherlands. And then he told my daughters.
At what age? Before?
No. Jack Barrow. Jack Barrow days. And then my daughters were, he told them, and they were so nervous for his arrival. They were so nervous.
What was the first one?
Devil. He's also.
Oh, it's not even a picture. It's the word devil.
It's the word devil. And then they couldn't now wait what I'm going to say now. So I fetched him at the airport and we got to the house and he said, you know, I must tell you something. I did something.
And he shows you.
So I just said, Zander, please, let that just be the only one.
Laser it
please.
Off.
Please. Just let it be the
if
only
Bobby van Jaarsdal can laser off his tattoo, you can laser off a tattoo.
That is the only thing he does that I don't like.
That you don't
can
like.
You believe it? The only thing.
And he's gotten so many.
I mean, and it's just, as is om weer sien, dan het hy seker sokkies ook gehou, bloody tattoo.
Ek het nooit weer sokkies te dra nie. I must say that was that one caught me off guard. I didn't think that was going to be the thing that bothers you. And okay, you don't have to say okay. So there's obviously not really songs that you don't like, but what stands out for you as your? Do you have a favorite song?
Jack Barrow and your mother's a heisie.
Well, obviously cooler is Ekke is absolutely cool, but there's lots. Now I can't give them one.
Want jy het een tattoo van een slang op jou tete. Jy denk jy is cool as ek.
And the new stuff, you love it. The stuff he's been releasing, the new singles.
Ja, yeah, Demone en al die goeders, yeah. Man. I love it.
My ma was mine, sy is blommerang skikspan en foepen, catering en alles op die Demone video.
And you know that one thing that whatever you call that sign,
yeah.
Die groot standbeeld.
Or the peace sign.
Now, I was there and I thought it was fantastic.
Heerlijkheid, great. My favorite, I must say, my favorite of the new songs is Role Model. I love it.
Thanks.
When the beat drops. Oh no, you lonely old pony. Shh, poes, niemand hou van jou. So lang nummer 1, bro, drok al lonely.
Tweede chorus, niemand fokke, kom eerst klaus. I really do like everything. A mom.
Yeah.
You just like everything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm one day going to find a mom that just says, Delicate, I wish my son just became a CA. Because all the moms.
I think that's quite boring, you know? No, I mean, but then you sit in the office all the time.
Yeah, but it's. I love that, especially because, you know, when we were in school, you know, there were. You know, shame, I always talk about this just like for how grateful I am that my parents said, go study drama, it's what you want to do, you know, because yeah. I had so many, especially girls that were in school with me, that their biggest dream was to go study drama or become a ballet dancer. And their parents just were like, no, there's no way, you know, there's no career in that, or it's a very difficult career or difficult life. And I always used to say to my parents, it's only difficult for the people who don't make it. But I mean, yeah. The people who make it, it's actually not that fucking hard, you know, they actually have a lack of life. The trick is just making it, which you can't guarantee.
Yeah, but just now look where the two of you are. Famous.
Heerlijke, donkey.
Very famous,
man.
Famous.
Yeah.
I like that word, famous. My fiance, okay, says Engels van Benoni. She loves it. She always says it because one time we were at the airport and someone said, jy's bekend. That was her favorite thing ever. Because she didn't know what it means. She said, what does bekend mean? And I said, no, it means famous. She goes, wow, jy's bekend. Skull, jy's bekend. Okay, so... So the swearing comes from you. Okay, that is very refreshing to hear.
Doesn't sound really good if you say that.
All the character is then have you to blame. We've been blaming Jack Barrow all along. It's actually you.
Sorry.
Take the heat off me.
Sorry.
The rap, did you have a love for rap or hip hop or did Xander discover that? He told the story.
When I born, like the film, my mom was just pumping Snoop Dogg, just like rolling.
For real?
Like...
Of course. And then when my friends come in, I say, Xander, come, sing that song. You know, and then he whatever he does. All three, the children were spoiled. But he was now 7-8 years after Tasha and Tanya. Mm. So this one was spoiled rotten. He had eventually, when he was now at high school, actually, then the children would come. I had a play school at one stage, so there, it was a lack of groot kamer and whatever, and the TV was there.
But like, for, and like then a nursery school.
He didn't get the Nintendos, you know, those for one person. Mm. He had to have the controls for two, and it went over to three. Then they will sit in rows and play. He was always the middle one that used to play, and then the friends. And then they're in rows and to wait to play on his games and his whatever. Yeah.
And Ditya and I, like, I must say for my mom, like, about how supportive she is, saying now everything that the children does. But it is really true. You know, I was into gaming. Gaming was not a thing that existed, really. And I mean, flipping to like the university, like you know, the first like proper, like 8-bit family system, Circus Charlie. That was the first time it was actually accessible. Yeah. Before that, you had to have a computer, and a computer was like a thing. It like needed its own like it wasn't like a thing.
It needed
like,
its own room in the house.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a whole thing. So we like, so I finally got this, and then my mom saw I liked it so much, and my mom would like cut out flipping, find ads for like, if you like people testing games, or she would like, if we had like the school flipping kermis and stuff, and you had, or like the entrepreneurs dag or what to call, then you have to do something. And my mom would take the TV and the game, like the home entertainment system, that old Nintendo, and would that would be the thing. So we'd charge like whatever, 50 cents, and you could play like pinball, and then you get the one at the best score would win at the end. And it was the biggest cue because it like that was everyone wanted to do, but everyone else's parents were like so anti that type of stuff. And it was like such a weird,
you know, you must, when your children are in home, at, you know, then they must get used to things and how to, we don't want to handle the compassion. It's like he went to a friend down the road from us when you were in high school. And then, but their parents weren't at home. And, and then I went down to get some milk. And I thought, but for good, this was on there, but now you should stop.
Blackout.
So bro, you can just see what a So I said, Xander, jy iets gedrink. But just get in the car. So I turned around, went there, and okay, he was there. So I then went down, you know, it's before this Mr. Delivery story, went down, got pizzas, gave him eat, sit a little bit. Okay, Xander, are you feeling better? Come, let me take you back to Marius. You know, I mean...
to drink more.
How cool is that?
No, then hopefully then he obviously realized, listen here.
Yeah, and I did actually. And that is flipping interesting for me because, you know, who would do that? Like, I was literally walking in the road, drunk, and by fucking some miracle, that is the exact moment that my mom drives past back from flipping the garage to say milk can cook it. And then for her to pick me up, I'm like drunk. Like a flipping, it's just like, I get just a bottle of vodka down.
And you also know like teenage drunk is a different kind of drunk. Because I also remember being teenage drunk and it's like you gooi a 3-quarter glass of cane and a 1/4 cream soda.
Yeah, because you don't like it, you just want to get drunk.
You don't enjoy it. Yeah, like every sip is a punishment. But you're like, come on, we're gonna do it.
But that's crazy because then after that, it actually did change because then I had more respect because my mom, I would be more respectful from that side of things because
and then you've also
she trusted me to be that, and I was so young and it like. Sy hoef my nie, sy kon my fucking like enigiets gedoen het, maar sy het my getrust genoeg om my te vat na die huis toe, na my huis toe, 'n pizza te gee, laat ek 'n bietjie opsouber en dan weer gaan afdra by die podium aan te party en dan my genoeg getrust dat ek weer so fucked gaan raak. Dis fucking cool. Ek bedoel, dit
see,
gaan
nie,
that doesn't then happen somewhere.
Like, for instance, like, my daughters, you know, there is a club here, the playground. Ek het die eerste by die club in die Kaap gewees.
Ek het actually iemand die story gisteraand vertel, weirdly enough, ja.
Is it? And then, my daughters wanted to come, you know, and wada, wada, wada. So I said, you can go anytime, but I take you. Yes. And they were always...
And fetch you as well, or what?
No, it's altijd mense...
No, wait for it.
There was altijd mense wat kon oorslaap het. And I said to them, okay, I will load this BMW, but your parents must know where you're going. But that was before cell phone day, times, hey? Kan jy dit nou geloof?
Yeah.
So then, I brought them in, dropped them, you know, but it can't be too early. So say, for instance, I dropped them at 10, and then... The Milky Way was opposite La Perla, you know, there in Sea Point next to the
and
swimming
pool. And it was
open
pool. That late.
No, then Milky I would go and sit there because I thought, go to
a friend. But it was so light whip.
I sit in my car there because it's lots of light. So now I sit there till I said, okay, I'll pick you up at 2. You know,
I sit my mom.
I sit
in the car.
I sit in there, but I thought, spark there because there's lots of light, you know, nobody will come and wara wara me and whatever. And then I go. Yeah, I can't really sleep because is it 1? Is it 2? Okay, then I drive down.
Yeah, but did your cell phone alarm?
Yeah, because you can't eat. And then when I get there 2 in the morning, they're standing there. And you know what? They always wanted to go. I took them 3 times and they said, oh, no, thank you. We don't want to go again. So if I didn't take them the first and the second time, you know, they would thought they missed the world.
Exactly.
And it's the same with that. Getting that's drunk, that's not superhero. And then he discovered, but it's not actually, you know. I mean, I had
but he still does it. Off. Then why does he still do it?
No, but
to a level.
To a level.
To a level.
To a level.
No, I've learned my limits.
Now, I must also, on that note, give my parents credit. That's why, you know, actually, when I started becoming friends with people like Xander and Francie van Cooke and Pierre from Jevels, it was a mindfuck for me because, like, you guys don't even understand, Xander. When we were matric, you guys were like, I mean, there was this big revival. Okay, there was Volkov, and then that kind of, you know, died down a little bit. Then everyone was used to, like, okay, these guys, Volkov. And then, like, when we were grade 11 matric, now, then there was this big explosion in Afrikaans music, because then it was van Cooke Kartel. Aching, huge. Okay, not Afrikaans music, but that was massive. And then
the same people.
And they were pretty much seen as Afrikaans band. Even though
yeah, exactly, because they were all Afrikaans and they played at all the Afrikaans festivals. I remember it so well, Maloney's Rock Fest in Pretoria, and then it would be like Foto Na Dance, Van Cooke Kartel, all these Afrikaans bands, Jevels Fantasties, and... Aching. but and then it was you, and then also Jevels Fantasties, nah? And now we also have to like go to all these places, we have to go watch these bands, we're like so into the music scene, but we were in Kempton Park, and you guys would play in like Alberton and those places, and then my parents would, normally someone else's parents would take us, and my parents would say, no, we'll do the fetching. But you're like, you know, it never went on schedule, because they would post on Facebook, okay, Jack Parra plays at 11. And you tell your parents, he plays 11, will be done at 12. But now, it never works out that way. Now, I keep running out into the parking lot.
Oh, shit!
Listen, I'm sorry, but he's not playing yet. He's not playing yet. Then I run back in.
Ja, ek dalle portaan, hy's kom hulle kwaad. Then my seun, ek sit al hierdie by die kar. Hoe laat begin jy speel? Want weet jy, dit's ook die fok op. Sorry, ek interrupt jou nou.
Nee, ja.
Maar mense sê soos, want hulle wil hê die mense moet vroeg na die bars kom om mee te drink.
Yes.
So hulle is al soos op die flyer sê, starts at 7. Maar dan speel ek eers, maar hulle sê my nie, ek was 11 uur te speel. Dan
yes.
Kom al mense soos 6 uur aan, want hulle dink...
Maar jy speel 7 uur.
Ja, 7 uur. Maar meanwhile, hulle sê, die party...
The doors open at 7, ja.
Starts at 7. Now fucking everyone's sitting there, then they get pissed off at me, and I'm like, fuck, I'm just the hired help. I'm just here, they must tell me when to play. I'm not making the rules here.
Yeah.
And then, yes, people have been angry at me, just for that same reason.
And it's not even your fault.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Fuck, I'm telling you.
Just taking it from my mother. I mean to say, what a cheek.
No, Shabe, they were always very understanding, because, I mean, it would be more of a waste of time for them to have come all this way, sleep in the car. I mean, they... Because we're knocking them awake, you know, on the window. So they just recline the seats, went horizontal and they would sleep like mummies there, flipping my dad and my mom. And then like always by chain, there was always like, you know, we'll be done by 12. But then realistically, it was always 2. And then we knock them awake. Okay, we're done. And then we... But so, okay, so tell me, so, because, yeah, Zander said the other day that, because it reminded me so much of a story that my mom, I used to impersonate Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And you know that one scene where he climbs out the rhino's poop hole?
The mother rhino is giving birth.
I think I have told this story on the podcast, but anyway, I'll tell it again. Nah, and then now what happens is, obviously my mom has watched the movie with me. She's seen the scene. Now I reenact the scene. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. Now the Tannies come visit. Now she goes, do the thing from Ace Ventura. Now I do it. This Tanny doesn't even know who Jim Carrey is. Never mind Ace Ventura. Now I'm pretending to climb through a rhino's poop hole. And they have no context, and they're just giving my mom this sympathetic look, like, shit. Because my mom, like, scaring a hole, like, on the floor laughing, yeah? And you could see just this, their face, like, shame, yeah? Poor Greta. The son obviously has something wrong with him, but oh, it's great that she thinks it's so funny, but, you know, they then always have to kind of, like, fake a, no, yes, but, oh, look. But then Zander told the story the other day where he's like very young. I don't remember what age. And he's like rapping the Snoop Dogg song that is like has sex, sex, language, nudity, PG, 18. And he's like this. Hoe oud was jy? Law school?
This is fucking, what?
13 omtrent.
Ja, staan het 4, 12.
Maar sê, jylle sit kamer vol mense. En een tannie geniet het net soveel soos die ander. Ek dink nie, jylle kom achter die woorde is nie. You know, they just think now this one...
And then he is rapping.
I wasn't reenacting climbing out of a poop hole. Yeah. So that's and a, then bit, he's that's a bit easier to get across.
He's now singing, this whatever.
Can you remember some of the lyrics?
My favorite one is like, Lordy Dordy, we like to party, we don't cause trouble, we don't bother.
Lordy Dordy, we like to party, we don't cause trouble, we don't bother nobody, we're just
some niggas. But there's a line that goes, and with your wrinkled pussy, I can't be your lover.
And with your wrinkled pussy, I can't be your lover. Yeah.
Because it's about this woman who's trying to chat up Snoop Dogg, and he's like young, obviously, at that point, and they like old tannies.
Old. Lady. Yeah,
that's like, and that was part of it. That was one of the lines.
I'm going to say, I can't hear the words of the song. I think it's so cool to do it. You know, to be able to sing it, man. You
click some. Yeah, click some.
Exactly. And my mom always would, like, because it was crazy that time, you know, proper music, like, there wasn't, like, if it, like, to ek daai age, wasn't nog eens internet and stuff. Yeah. So it wasn't like you couldn't even go and fucking download anything. Like, you had to go to Musica, and Musica had like a little rap section, and you had to go through that rap section. And there was another shop called Paperweight, which had like all the old magazines from other countries, and then you could walk through it. And then it's like,
wow.
And then weegle die magazines, and dan betaal jy. Ek weet of jy dit in jou tyd. But it's like a shop, so all the overseas, like fucking international magazines, like XL magazine, hip hop, like flipping. All these things like all come to the shop, and then it's like just like a soos a like soos a fucking net soos teels, and I soos like a whippe boeke, like magazines everywhere, and then you would go and I search through it, and then I'd go through that and find stuff I like, and oh, that looks nice by the picture, because I can't go and listen to it actually, and then I go back, because also the guys in music are always were like almost, you felt bad asking them for something because they are like the fucking cool, they think they're the fucking coolest people. They know everything about music.
They never look less, too.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, okay, fuck sex. And then you have to sit there and you have to take like, and you're like, okay, I only take 3 CDs because that's the only thing I'm allowed to listen to. Then you must give someone else a chance because you have to listen there on
we had that, yeah, those stations.
Yes, and then it was took forever,
But that was before he had a license, you know, for a car, so.
So you again sitting in front of the Milky Lane,
and then he comes, with a pack like this books. I can't decide which one, but at that time I said, take them all. It's fine. Just take them all. Just come. Yeah. CDs. I can't decide between these three seasons. Take it. Let's just go.
Well, my mom's
at like, that stage, you're like cooking in the car. Aircon is not as cold as it is now. You're sitting there cooking.
Op a hoopie boeken en wacht voor hom om sy soekoe te uit te sort.
And can I ask, from your perspective, so Xander will maybe have like a different answer of when he knew, like, not just that he wants to become a rapper, but like, for example, like, wow, this is looking like it could be a career, you know, and a legit career. What was the point for you, Danny, where you were like, oh, wow, okay, this is going from rapping in the lounge, 12-year-old, he likes hip-hop, okay, but a lot of kids like hip-hop, to actually, wow, he's got a talent, he's actually writing his own songs, and there's now like a career that can come out of this.
Jeezy, when was that? You were at City Varsity.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you study?
Multimedia and graphic design.
Yeah, so you went through that.
I didn't even know that.
And then when you moved back to the house to start writing and doing, then, you know, I wasn't really very part of that, I must say.
I moved to Cape Town, and then I lived here up in Kloof Street at the top. We lived in a house, and then it was obviously just, I just became part of the scene, kind of, but it wasn't necessarily, I was flipping the rapping at like fucking Shabins and like a taxi
rank.
See,
I wasn't, I wasn't aware
that's
of
one
that.
Thing I'm never going to I'm not going to invite my mom to come watch me at the taxi rank in Mitchell's Plain at like
but
a pop
jazz. Was that like, I don't know much about the hip-hop scene, but was that like battles or was it like little shows? Flipping,
it's crazy, man, okay, but like the thing is, it was like a battle of, like, it's weird to kind of, not battles. I didn't like battles. It was like, so you would go and you would give your CD to the guy.
Okay.
And then they'd be like, cool, you on after this, bro. And then you would just rap like two songs. And it was hectic, like, especially like in like, then you go to like the town hall in like Fippen, Lavendy. That's why I would never tell my mom these things because it is like fucking dangerous. They can't just any.
You see, that's why
I got the camps in and can't rap.
I down didn't know
about that. It's not Milky Line with all the lines.
No. Right, but I knew he was doing things. I know.
You knew he was rapping.
The first time you were
on the Mises Ball.
In a parking area in like Lavender Hill or somewhere where you played with. Then I really did. But I didn't even know this is going to be his career, really. But when you moved back, you said, but that's what he wants.
Yeah, because I quit my job and said, like, fucking, I can't know.
What was the job?
Actually by King James, like a great design, like one of the biggest design agencies in Africa, actually. Wow. Had a job there.
If you don't mind, eh?
And then,
that's my son, eh? That's
thanks,
my son.
Thanks for coming.
And then I quit and I was like, fuck it, I'm still have the little enough attachments in my life that if I'm going to give it a go, I have to give it a go now. And if it works, if it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world.
You can come back to King James.
Yeah, or I get issues, kids, or I can next like enig iets wat my vasa, wat ek moet like been. So it, so then I moved back to my mom's house and I was sitting in house. Like flipping, writing CDs, and people were paying money into my
account. That's what I
wanted
to say now.
Yeah, Facebook, I think my account details gezet. Dan betaal mense geld in my account, and then I sit and write.
Yes.
And as it's just like flipping, gaan ek biblioteek toe. Want my girlfriend op daai tyd, Dominique, nog het flipping 'n cover geteken. Dit was die Bring en Braai EP, was die ding se naam. En dan sy vir my cover teken, dan gaan foto's stat, ek het by die biblioteek, en I cut it out.
Biblioteek.
Ja, exactly.
Durban Road of the
ek was so lank
that's so rap, eh?
I was so lank last in a biblioteek, heerlikheid. I used to love the biblioteque.
Just tell them it's a library.
Because you could, library. Because you could even get like, I remember you could get like computer games also sometimes at the library. But that just took me back. I don't know the last time I was in the library. But
So then go to the library, photostat. Then go home. So then I write all these CDs.
You know, with Prit on the cover.
Yeah.
Prit.
Flipping and a clang, flipping, sleevey ding. Then go, if they were in Cape Town, then I would just go drop it at the house. So a lot of people still come to my shows and they still tell me like they got an album from me. I literally came to their house.
And deliver.
And I delivered it.
Yeah, look,
and
then that's the other cool. Ones, that's would, real hustle, eh? That is fucking, that's not like the kids today, if you're listening, that you make it on TikTok. If you've never hand delivered a fucking CD in your life. Because I have done the same. I've delivered, I had like a bunch of, well, my one stand-up DVD was it like at Musica or whatever. And then they were like, oh, this is the stock we're not selling. And I took it. And then I said, okay, $100. And if you're in Randburg, send me your address. And I also
I come with my bicycle and deliver it.
Yeah, okay. At least, I had a car. But and then I get there, and then they like you're like at some people. I mean, I guess in those days, people at least still had cash. Oh no, you said the Facebook did. I just said have cash ready, and then you get there, and then you give the DVD, and then they're like, oh, I don't have R100 cash, and then you're like, okay, here's my bank details, but then you just leave, and sometimes they didn't even pay it in, and you're like,
remind of us who's like, I was hectic, like I even just answered. En dan met jy, want ek moes baie van gepos het. Maar ek het dit ook al ingewerk. Dan sê ek soos, like, laat ek agterkom, oh fuck, ek moet obviously postage ook betaal. Dan koop ek al koeverte, al die postkoeverte, dan gaan ek al na die poskantoor doen met so jylle, die tannie het my later geken, dan kom ek met soos fucking 40 sulke fucking goeders al met die poskantoor.
Did she know what you were posting? Did she ever go, what is this? Can I listen to it?
She probably opened one at some point. She's like, this guy looks like he's posting drugs to everyone.
It just shows you nothing comes easy in life. But just, where are you now, both of you? I mean, it was all worth it, eh?
It was worth it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it, but we are sitting on leopard print couches. There's a Mursa TV here. There's Toys for Africa. I mean, so let me talk about that for a second, because that's like obviously a hobby. We see it now and then on Zander's social media, but like the toys, the figurines, it's like obviously a big collector's thing worldwide. But where did that come from? All the He-Man, yeah, Masters of the Universe.
Vertel our story van die tandarts met Dirkie.
Okay. He had to go to a dentist very often. Hy het die baie goeie tandjies gehad when he was like melt on.
He was wrapping them out.
So, it was in Paro. It was nogals in Paro.
That's quite a compliment.
Dr. Hoghart was there. And then,
I just have to stop you for a second. That's quite a, you must use that to say like, I was such a good rapper when I was young. I was wrapping my teeth out.
Yeah.
I was rapping so fast, my teeth fell out.
So then, sorry, Dr. Yeah, but Hoghart. He was now like 4 and 5 and whatever. So now we go there. And I promise, of course, he hated it. So I said, you can get a He-Man. But OK Bazaars was just next to the dentist. So then every time he went there, he could choose. But then again, you know, it takes an hour to choose between two. So I said, well, just take two. Next time we get there, the same thing.
Youngest child, eh? So,
but he had, well, it's still, some of them are still here because that's what you got then. But out of the box now, you know. So then I told my brother, Dirkie, that. And I said, you know, every time he went to the dentist, he got a He-Man. So he said, but just take him, even if he hasn't got toothache, because, I mean, it's on the house, the medical aid pays.
I'm talking medical aid.
No, it's not.
He'll give my He-Man.
It's not the dentist that got it. He went to the dentist, and then we went to, okay, bizarre. So she thought it's a doctor. He thought it's a doctor.
So I was just like, don't fucking medical aid, but all. But I want the He-Man to say, but my Mina and my mom, my bribe him to go, because I don't want to fucking go to do this. And then my uncle's like, take him every day, man. Fuck, you get the whole collection before the end of the month.
You must flip and take them for all they're worth. Those bloody crooks there at the medical aid.
But that OK Bazaars, I actually was there the other day. That's still there, that old sign. It's like the original fucking OK Bazaars.
I know.
Super old school.
Pero.
But then, so is that where the love came from, just those He-Mans, and how did it develop from there?
I think it's like, if I sit inside here, you know, some people will say it's like, you know, fucking just way too much for them. And like, I also been through my share of like people moving in and out of my life and stuff like that. And some of them were very minimalistic, and some of them, and then I just finally decided, fuck it. This is like, I have to create in the space. I have to be in the space. So now this is how I like it. This is like, I sit here and this makes me, like, if I'm writing music and stuff, it like almost triggers thoughts. But if I'm sitting in a studio and it's like white walls and I'm sitting in a studio, I struggle to write and I struggle to think of stuff because it's like a weird thing. Like I also cannot, I struggle to sit and write. So I have to do things because I almost have to not think about it to think about it. Like it is weird. I verstaan het altijd. Ek kan nie soos altijd sit nie. Dit moet soos, want dan overthink ek en dan rock ek en dan skryf ek a song te veel and then it gets like lost almost. But if I'm doing and I'm moving and I'm, and I think this is the space because even if I'm sitting still, my eyes are, my brain is still like going to things and then it like almost subliminally writes itself the music. Because I'm sure you know the jokes as well and stuff like that, you know, it's and stories and stuff. It almost, once you get in that zone, it almost writes itself before you even know what the next line is. It's almost written itself already. It's like coming, like it rolls as a wheel. And it's a cool, it's fucking great om in die space in te kom. And it's almost a cool, like kind of, yeah, it's always my lekker ding.
Yeah. I've got two more questions. So the first one I have to ask is, how else to phrase this, the drugs.
Wel, ek hoop is nie Jack Perra wat drugs vat nie so on the toilet.
Well, the mushrooms. My mom had mushrooms.
No, but that's what I'm referring to, the mushrooms. But I...
But that's not drugs, that's natural.
But no, just remember, mushrooms is what ek in my course gebruik, so I take it, it's those little white things that you buy.
But you know it's Genius. Not.
And now I just, in my mind, it's that.
But you have to tell yourself that because it bothers you, or what?
Want jy weet, as ek by hom kom, ek dink toe het hy is gedrak of gedrink nie, so I mean, fuck, why?
I just ask because...
I don't go into that, you know? That's the thing.
I think it's also, like, I mean, I think my mom...
I don't think he's a druggie. That's not in my mind.
No. I just want to say this quickly, because obviously mushrooms has, in the last very short few years... become way more acceptable from society. Because even like 5 years ago, mushrooms were still seen as very like, whoa, you do mushrooms. Then, I don't know what switched, but suddenly, like, because I noticed you never posted mushrooms on your Instagram.
Yeah.
You were never like kind of, even though I know that you've always done it, you were never like very public about it or like, hey, I'm going to take some mushrooms before the show.
But I just think...
But now it's more accepted.
I think it's also more, you know, when I took it when I was younger or like for my life, I didn't take it for the reasons that I maybe take it now. I still take it now. Like it's still party, you know, microdosing or stuff like that. Like it's still, there's so many different ways to take it now. And it's such a medical, it's like a phenomenon in medical research and stuff. So, I mean, I would be more worried about someone taking antidepressants than someone taking mushrooms. Like that, okay. I think that's why, and I think that's how a lot of people feel now that they've actually seen this research, because obviously it all started with stupid laws that were unnecessarily made by Nixon and like the war on drugs and all these things where they were actually all created to obviously do good and they were created to aid in depression, PTSD, you know, flip and all the goeders. And I experienced that firsthand last year, last year on my birthday when I went to that retreat in Iceland.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, and this is the one point, I know the point of this interview is that we want to hear as little as possible from you, Zander, but I actually did want to talk about this because I found it very interesting. Went to this retreat and whatever. You don't have to go into details, as much detail as you want or don't want, but what was the, was there like a trauma or what was the thing that led you to go like, yeah, look, I need to do like a something, I don't want to call it drastic, but I mean, it is quite drastic to go to like a retreat and do this whole like mind opening.
I think it was like just years. Like, I mean, Fippin, I think I was the one day I was chilling at my house, the next day I was like flipping, flying like on a Friday to Holland and the next day to back to Durban and then to Germany and to Russia and then flipping, spilling good Boxburg. And like, it's, so you, So it like kind of all these things happen in your brain.
And which one was more rough, Russia or Boksburg?
Boksburg, definitely.
So it was just a lifestyle. Just,
but it's just like because you. So what happens is at that point you don't. You kind of forget to deal with stuff. So okay. So after years of like flipping, dealing with like not dealing with stuff, it obviously just builds up. Builds up, and then eventually it flippin', you got to deal with it. And so with COVID, with everything happening, I think also what I discovered in COVID is how much stuff I release through my shows, you know, getting on stage, sweating, flipping, like I can stage have a cuck dive. Week and you can flipping, I can go on stage and I can, so my like I can get that out. It comes out of me even if I know it or not. But now you're sitting 2 years in a fucking ice and you can't make shows, Denis. You bet I couldn't do anything. I can't do like the online shows were, but it's weird for a fucking.
But you didn't want to.
I did that one here, literally right here.
Yeah, and I watched also, that one.
Yeah, so that was fun, but it wasn't a thing, you know. I think for like I loved it about comedy because it was it almost naturally just like fucking like attached to
yeah the,
to
the music ones were
it's difficult because you want that energy. You must pay a show this. Yeah, means it was like streaming is the future. Streaming don't know the future is on a sickness because it's impossible. You that energy is what keeps people coming to shows. Like they want that energy from you. They want to give you that energy. So anyway, long story short,
I mean it's then, the same as like if you at a live concert, you like. You're going crazy. But then when you watch a live concert on Netflix, you're just lying in your bed with a double chin. And you're just like, start falling asleep. But it's you watching the same thing, but it's just like the difference between being in the crowd.
Just,
and
exactly. The vibe is just not right. Yeah.
But okay, but then everything then came out.
Yeah, so then all these things built up. And then I went to like a breakup and stuff like that. And then I was just in a bad space. I was just like not really knowing where to go with it. And then my sielkundige was klaar. It's his retreat already. So he was telling me about it. And I trust him, obviously, more than I trust any person. He knows more than anyone about me, obviously, just for those reasons. And then I flip and so then I went. And it was crazy. And my mom, just before I went, I would never forget. Because I had to get like...
And what is the... I want you to say now in front of your mom. What is the... What do you take? What do you... what is the process?
So you get there, you take, it's all like obviously like just plant-based, soya fatsus, San Pedro.
I know you're not schnaffing coke.
Yeah, I'm not doing like heroin or fucking like anything. Yeah,
start with coke.
So San Pedro, you get there the day,
and
first
what's
day.
What's that? Is that cactus?
Is that cactus juice? Yeah, cactus juice. And then you, and it's like, it's like, so you're there in the river, it's fucking amazing, it's in the eyes of the forest. Like by this river, you sit there, you take it, and that kind of focuses you. It's like, for lack of a better word, the coke of the plant world. So it
and
kind of
you
focuses
purge,
your.
Do you purge? Do you
I don't know if some people do. I didn't. Like I know there's some of the other things, like the one with the frog where they poke you, and it's like you have to drink the water because. A shit ton of water beforehand because you are going to puke. Your body has just discovered that it's being poisoned, so it has to come out. But that little bit that it is absorbs is the stuff that makes you obviously like trip and whatever. But I mean, it's so the powerful thing about these things are obviously, so you take that and then that kind of, then you go through a process of 3 days kind of building up. So you just take it the first day and then you go, you're doing like, you can do whatever you want and you don't have to do anything, but there's like, they make food for you. You're the only patient, which is fucking the best because I like no other patients. Because I don't want to go fucking discover my darkness with like 16 other people in a room
and
with some tiny
really like,
with a bell. Like,
and everyone's whispering,
yeah, exactly.
This is
my worst nightmare.
I don't want to say anything, but I do recognize you.
So that's the great thing about this thing. And then they take you, that you do that. Then you, from there on, you go. Then you do this journey, like what I call a journey on the night. In this beautiful glass room in the middle of the Nizhna forest, you like, and they're there to look after you. So you also like anything, you that you'll be okay. Like, I mean, they're there to look after you.
Okay.
And you see stuff and it goes crazy. And it's like, because what it does, it obviously, we've all seen that picture, but it literally creates, like, nothing else fires all those parts of your brain at the same time. That's why, you know, people like fucking, like, I've always been on a micro, like Bill Gates of like flipping,
is he a microdose?
Yeah, then? I'm on like Silicon Valley crew, you know, Steve Jobs, like,
wow.
Steve Jobs credits like most of his ideas to microdosing, you know, because what microdosing
what
is,
was he taking then?
Acid and mushroom.
Acid and mushrooms.
When you get, the thing is, what microdosing is actually, it's supposed to just take enough so that you unlock that part of the brain without tripping. So then you can take it daily, obviously. So but if you once it goes over that threshold, then obviously it's your dag fucked. Yeah? And then that can only obviously back up.
Okay.
So but anyway, so that does that, and then the best thing is that afterwards you still spend another 3 days there as well. So they kind of tell you how to what you've seen, like right after you've done also. Because I also never thought about it like this, but it's like a dream. So you see stuff and then you forget about it because it's like a dream. So you just don't, it's actually trying to, your brain's actually trying to send you messages, but you just like fucking not seeing it. But then they actually help you right afterwards when you're done tripping, that you have like soup and it's flipping like idea sit on, and then you say but you sing it, and then they're like, this is what this means, this is what this means, this is what this means. And it's hectic, you know, when you take that amount afterwards for like a month, like your brain is still fired up on that vibe. So it deals with stuff for you in your sleep that you don't even have to deal with. You might have been bullied, you might have had this, you might have been like super dark stuff. It doesn't matter. Your brain almost does it without vividly showing you those things. So it doesn't go like, oof, fuck, you saw is the over jou gepoes. No, it's like kind of it's a crazy process. And ek, and
I sit in Australia.
Iets wat hulle reg gedoen het is hierdie ene was so bang vir slange. En hier sê hy in sy bungalow waar hy is, het was daar slang. En hy het eintlik
maar was daar
'n boomslang
met my
fucking met my fucking tripod gefucking.
Maar was daar regtig 'n slang of dink jy hy het die slang net gesien?
Nee, toe was ek sober. Daar
was 'n regte slang. Ek kon nie die glo nie, dink ek wel iets van daai medikasie moes gehelp
in my trip. Toe sien ek soos fucking baie slange ook op stages, like so dit is obviously al daai goeters. Like, yeah, ja, it's for been erg. Like, it is like, yeah, this is crazy. Ek is obviously for Amelie, maar ek sal dit amper recommend dat vir ben Amelie dit some stage moet doen. Dit is regtig 'n befokte. Dit is like my little, like, ja, jy kan hoor hoe ek praat daaroor. Dit is like a life changing thing, ja.
Could you see a difference in him when he came back? Did he seem lighter or happier?
Ja, vir my was hy eintlik presies dieselfde.
Was jy altyd mal?
Jy nee, maar jy ek het nie eers agtergekom jy's nie mal nie.
Ek was depressief vir die tyd. Mamma het geweet ek was binne like mamma nog my ma het gesê soos I think why she's saying it is also because as I left she was like geniet dit. Kom net dieselfde terug. So yeah. I was obviously like ergens is 'n fucking terugkom en soos flout en 'n fucking yoga fucking outfit.
Exactly what I just said. Just yeah, me that so otherwise, that's why I mean did I really I mean I you wanted to go
yeah.
And that was the right thing. But to me you were still the same person.
Yeah, 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 nee, obviously.
Maar net bietjie meer kalmer.
Yeah.
That's all that's why I thought okay. What should I say?
Otherwise you go through that weird phase, you know, like when Snoop Dogg became Snoop Lion.
Yeah, that's
and everyone was like, what the fuck's going on? And then he just went back to Snoop
Dogg.
Yeah,
you see, he didn't come back with Jack Sparrow. He was still Jack
yeah,
Sparrow.
So, yeah, exactly. Imagine like sports. He came back and now sport, he's like, right. I don't wanna make rap anymore. I wanna make just band flute music.
I bought a plot in Eisner Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, like then we would
sustainable
all panic.
Living.
Last question I wanted to ask because this is also one of the funniest things for me about my mom. Sometimes she comes to, when I do lineup shows, these big comedy shows like Kings and Queens of Comedy or whatever, or there's a show called Blacks Only, and she will come to the show. I'm on the lineup, but she's coming to the show, but she makes it very clear to me that she's coming to watch Mpo Pops and Dylan Oliphant, which is two of her favorite comedians. And she makes no secret of it that that's like her favorite comedians, Mpo Pops and Dylan Oliphant. She always quotes their jokes. And I say to her, am I not your favorite comedian? And she's like, yeah, you obviously you're my son. But you know,
are like, the best, but.
my favorite, like that. But I can say that she watches my shows more critically, so she doesn't laugh as much. But when she watches Mpo Pops and Dylan Oliphant, I hope they're listening, she laughs like, yeah, like she's like on the floor. But I wanted to ask you, besides for Xander, obviously you can say Jack Barrett is your favorite rapper, but what other rappers, you know, South African or international, do you even listen to any other rappers? Or?
No, I don't really. I'm sorry.
So there's no other rappers that you like, yeah, Jack Barrett is good, but this guy, like, really, I love this guy.
No, I'm sorry. I can't answer that. Jack Barrett is my number one.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
on that note.
I really thought sorry, you were going to be the one that breaks the mold today that says
50 Cent.
My favorite rapper. I love Jack Barrett, but yo, this Eminem is on another level.
Sorry for disappointing you. Sorry.
No. It's fine. This is a compliment. You are a mom. Through and through, you are a mom in the best, most loving, most supportive way.
Thank you for understanding that.
Where you are sitting right now, if you are driving, maybe don't applaud, but round of applause to Tani Runal. I wish you could see her outfit, man. It's like all black, but then with silver jewelry, ring on every finger, fishnet stockings. no tattoos, though. But yes, thank you, Tani. Dankie, Xander.
Thank you.
Lekker. Dankie, Jelle. Mensa, that was a bit of a longer episode, but we just couldn't cut it. I mean, the legend that is Jack Barrow, and the even bigger legend that you now know as Jack Barrow's mama. It was just too good, okay? And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I'll catch you next week for another chat with another Tani. Your Mom with Skalk is a Telltale Media production and hosted by me, Skalk Poseidon. Now, Mensa, if I can just ask you to do one thing, please, just one thing. And don't worry, it's really easy. On whatever platform you are listening to this podcast, please hit the subscribe button, leave us a review. If you didn't enjoy it, please be gentle, just for my heart and ego. We'd love to hear from you. Lekker and tata for now. And I'll do just a straightforward one. Mensa, so that was a bit of a long episode, but we just couldn't cut it. It was just too fucking good, baby. That was my Jack Barrett impersonation.